Retro Nerd.
Welcome to another episode of Previously on Lost. This is number 71, and we're going to be taking a retrospective look at Season 3. Last time we recorded, we talked about the Season 3 finale. We had our esteemed leader, Joe, with us as well, and that was an amazing adventure. But with us, coming back all the way from the freighter, we have Corey. How are you, bud? Welcome
back. Hey, I'm good. I was sorry to miss the finale through the looking glass, but I'm glad that Joe was there, so you still had three people. But good to be back. I'm excited to kind of close the book on Season 3 with you guys.
Absolutely. And the one who made it out from the underwater hatch himself, Steven. How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing good. I swam on up there, but I gotta say, I got some bad news about that boat. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know.
It's not pennies, that's what we know. But I'm Mike, and we are excited about talking about Season 3 and then kind of a look ahead at Season 4. So this may be one of our shorter episodes, but it'll be a good one. So keep that in mind. You guys know where we're at. Obviously, listen to us. You know we're part of Retro's app. So there's all that stuff. You know we're on social media. We've said it like 71 times now where we're out on social media. So we appreciate you joining us. And but let's dig into this. So here's how we're going to do this when we talk about Season 3. We're going to talk about our top three misses of Season 3. So no season of television is ever the perfect season of television. There are always going to be some things that kind of fell by the wayside or fell through the cracks, and some things that didn't quite settle right or didn't work right. But there's no perfect season. So we're going to talk about three misses maybe that we had in our minds from Season 3. And then our top three moments or events or significant setups in Season 3 that we really enjoyed that were our highlights. And then we're going to talk about our three expectations we have of Season 4. Or three things we just cannot wait to dig into when we get to Season 4 itself. So that's kind of how this show's going to go. But we're going to start with the top three misses of Season 3. So how do you guys want to do this? You want to, like, I do one, then you do one, and then – or just kind of
– Yeah, let's switch mine, around. I think we should switch right around. But really quickly, before we even start on that, I wanted to – you said not Penny's boat, and – because I wasn't there last episode, triggered this memory. No, this is great. I just wanted to give a shout out. I don't even remember their names, but they're from my hometown. There were a group of high schoolers. You know, this is when Lost was on and just after that started a band, and the band was called Not Penny's Boat, and they were pretty good. And I don't remember. I think I heard some of their songs. I don't know if they're still together. Maybe we could look them up at some point. But I thought that was hilarious back in the day. And I actually one year dressed as Charlie for Halloween. Really easy costume. Black Vans hoodie. Just put some marker on your hand. And basically I dressed up as Charlie and I wrote Not Penny's Boat on my hand. So I go to a Halloween party and be like, hey, I'm Charlie. I really had no costume. And there was a picture that came out of me holding up my hand saying Not Penny's Boat. And the mother of, or I think she was part of like my youth group leader or whatever. Anyways, she commented on this picture and she's like, hey, that's the name of my nephew's band. That, why do you have it on your hand?
That's funny. Explain.
I was like, well, it's actually from a TV show. Their band is inspired by that TV show. It's called Lost. And I just thought that was a funny, because she was so confused. Why would you write that, the band? I guess he's a big fan of this, like, band of teenagers. So, you know.
That's funny.
Not Penny's Boat, so.
Let's hope they had a longer career than Drive Shaft.
Than Charlie did.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh,
I don't know if they ever had a greatest hits album.
Oh, all right. So let's do it then. Corey, I'll let you go first. What was one of your misses that you had for this season?
All right. Well, I will kind of start at the beginning because I think it's fitting. For me, my first miss is just kind of the meandering pace of the early and like middle part of the season. And, you know, this doesn't come through as much when you're binging TV and there's no commercials and you're just like roaring through it. But even when you're binging it, I think you can kind of feel the beginning of the season, as much as we tried, as much as we defended it as a podcast, because there is a lot of quality there. Overall, I think especially once you get, you know, like four or five episodes in, it's going kind of slow. You're getting, I mean, even we talked about the hatch, like the kind of wrapping up what happened with the hatch took several episodes. You know, you strung out like what's going on with Echo. You know, he's like injured and missing. And then, you know, they're locked in cages for seemingly episode after episode. And we've talked about it before, the no end game. Like they didn't have like their end game because they thought they had to just make the show forever because ABC wanted that. And so yeah. They really were kind of like milking things a little more in that first half of the season. Still really good episodes. I mean, I went back and looked at a lot of our scores. I think we got a lot of good scores for the season. So I don't want to say it was bad. It's just when people think of the season, it is just like a little meandering and slower for part of it, especially if you're watching it live over the course of several months versus just, you know, getting through that part of the season in 2 days while you're sitting at home.
I can agree with you on that one. I felt more so that the middle of the season than the early part of the season, which just felt like very slow. Like I felt like we could have taken about three or four of those episodes out and it still would have been a pretty good season. Nowadays, if you were to make an episode like Lost, because Lost was famous for doing an entire episode about nothing, and then at like the last 30 seconds of that episode, they would progress the story of Baby Step. But for the whole episode, you didn't need anything. Like, let's just, like, you know, Exposé, Stranger in a Strange Land, even my favorite, you know, the Trish Nakanov's Dead, you know, even that episode, there's not a lot that moves the story until you get to, like, the last 15, 20 seconds, and then, don't forget, this is also going on, boom. You do that now, people are done watching. Like, with streaming, they'll shut it off. So it's a different kind of style of writing, but yeah, season three's I can see that. The early part was okay, but once it hit the middle, it got really slow. Like they were struggling to find stories to tell, like especially in the backstories.
I know a lot of the backstories. And I think the writers admitted that they were kind of, you know, they were kind of running out of ideas on some of them to where I think we talked at the first part of the season. There was really a lot of the characters were kind of in bad places. And, you know, we saw a couple of really rough Jack flashbacks. I mean, it seemed like, they were kind of struggling with the backstory part of it. So I definitely agree there. And I mean, I think it's important to remember how this season aired. It was so different than previous seasons where it aired for a full season and they would show reruns and have little short breaks. But this one, they did the first six or seven episodes as a chunk that came out at the start of the year, you know, came out in August or whenever fall TV used to come back before streaming took over, and then there was a big break until after the holidays and came back with the rest of the season. So that was different, and those first six or seven episodes definitely had a different feel than the rest of the season. I think the cages episodes.
quick tangent really quickly. I have a different show, but I was trying to like go back and rewatch Better Call Saul. I don't know if you guys are watching it. I had watched the first three seasons, then I stopped watching because I just kind of got bored. And so I was like, all right, I got to finish this. I hear it's getting really good. Like, I'm going to rewatch those seasons and then like continue on. And man, I kind of remember why I stopped watching. Like, I love a lot of parts of that show, but like, it is so slow. They even like every scene is a really like, at least it seems, feels like every scene is at least 5 minutes. It just drags on. I'm like, oh my gosh, please. Like that. Anyways, it made Lost feel like the fastest paced show ever. So, but I'm going to keep going. Cause I hear it gets good in season five. So I'm going to bear with it. Maybe I should watch it on like 1.25 speed.
That's what everybody said about said about The Office. They said if you could just binge through season one, once you get to season two is when you start to hit the good stuff, and then you're set. But you should get through those first six episodes.
Well, I mean those are 20-minute episodes. That's not that bad. Like, it's Better Call Saul. Like they should be 20-minute episodes. They're like 47 minutes, and like two things happen the whole episode. I'm like,
hey,
and
Dead is good there too. Trust me, Walking Dead. has been there too, but yeah, I agree. I agree with the pacing of the story. One that I had that I think Steven will admit to as well, because Steven has definitely talked about it on his end too, is the quick departure of Echo and the actor who played Echo. This is a story that I was really interested in knowing about and getting deeper into this character, and it seemed like they were going that direction. There was an article that Corey posted to us a little bit ago that had just come out on Screen Rant that talked about, like, Desmond's storyline was originally going to be Echo's, and Echo was going to be the guy who was close to Charlie, which we saw them starting to build that foundation in the beginning of season three. And then for whatever reason, whatever the rumors say, it was actor, it was creative decision, it doesn't matter. The fact is we lost that character. And he was written off the show in an abrupt fashion. And it almost makes you think what could have been with Echo in season three. I really would have been interested not as much to see Echo and Charlie, but I would have loved to have seen Echo and Locke go at it once Locke started to buy into all this stuff on the island at the end of season three. Like, that to me would have been – and even if Echo had made it into season six – When Locke comes back and is fully engulfed by the smoke monster and fully take it over, to see him and Echo go at it would have been really, really interesting to me. But yeah, one of the misses, I think, is that they didn't, if it was pay, they should have just backed the truck up and paid the guy. If it was creative decisions, they should have answered a legitimate reason why. But yeah, Echo leaving really stunk for season three.
Well, I certainly couldn't agree more. He was by far the most interesting character on this show, and yeah, losing him definitely would. It's my biggest what if of the whole series. And when, you know, the writers I think have talked in pretty extensively in the past that they did have a much longer, multiple season, potentially at the end of the series, planned for Mr. Echo. And I mean, I don't get the impression again. There are multiple, you know, stories out there, but I don't think it was creative decisions. I think this was definitely the actor wanting off for whatever reason. The actor wanted off, and the writers had to adjust to that. So, yeah, this, I mean, you put it on there, so I wasn't going to use it as one of my misses, but it's almost maybe even not fair to call it a miss, because I don't think the writers had a choice on it, but maybe how they handled it. But, yeah, I mean, that's just, if there was one thing, if I had the writers in the room with some truth serum from Rosinski coming up in season five, that I would ask them, you know, what was your whole plan for Echo? Because I would just love to know where they were going with that character and what we missed out on there. So I couldn't agree more. That's definitely my biggest disappointment in this season. But Yeah, I don't know if I can blame the writers, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's an interesting what if. The article that Mike was referring to, it was just funny that it was like published 2 days ago. Apparently, I can't remember who they interviewed, but the idea where the article says that basically Desmond's story of having the flashes of the future and seeing Charlie dying, that was going to be all something that Mr. Echo experienced. And so it makes you think, you know, what was the plan for Desmond? If he was not going to have these flashes, if he was not going to be electromagnetically, you know, special or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's kind of the long-term plan of Desmond is all tied up in that, his exposure to that stuff in the hatch. And so it would have changed his character a lot. Maybe, we would have been less involved, or maybe they had something that was still close to that. Maybe it just wasn't Vision specifically with Charlie. But I wonder if Echo would have made it to the very end. One of the things, I feel like he's a great character, but I also feel like he's kind of like closer to figuring his crap out than some of the other characters. So it's like he could have like rounded out his story, not when it did, but maybe in season 5 or something, and, you know, died. So I don't know. I just feel like Echo was too smart to maybe put up with some of the stupid things that the rest of our losties do or go through. He might have been like Saeed, where he's like had to be taken, you know, kicking and screaming to go back, or, you know, or whatever. I'm not sure. But he definitely would have been an interesting foil to Locke, because most people are just like, Locke, you're crazy. But Echo might have been able to kind of like meet him halfway and then still call him out on his crap. So, but too bad. We'll never know.
Never know. Well, Steven, do you have anything?
Well, I think one of my biggest misses was Walt and Michael. Obviously, this is another one that, you know, we lost Walt in the end of season 1 with the actor just having a growth spurt. So again, it's something that's kind of out of the writer's hands, but season 2 left us, you know, with this great cliffhanger on the pier with Michael driving off. And I guess to me, I never thought we would just not hear any more about it. You know, we see a lot of aftermath here of stuff that happened on the beach, but, you know, we just don't get any of Michael. You know, maybe we could, you know, that we may talk about that soon. You know, I don't know how soon here in season 4, but you know, we'll obviously get back to Michael. But to go a whole season with no real follow up on that story, I felt like that was a miss. But again, I mean, it's one of those things. It's Lost. They did bring him back. So I mean, you can't complain. But as far as just when watching season 3. I definitely wanted more Michael and Walt story. Obviously, we got a little bit of Walt at the end, taller ghost Walt, which was great. And obviously, you know, a lot of that is just the actor is having a growth spurt. So, you know, they got to kind of film it creatively. But I definitely could have used some more Michael and Walt this season.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, I was kind of happy that they weren't there.
Walt!
My hand only takes so much. I like how he comes back.
They just built the character up with his special powers and stuff, and we just never got more. You know, we always wanted more.
It's for the sequel series, man. It's for the next spinoff.
I think they missed a real opportunity to show us more of Carl. Corey, what else you got?
Coral. Okay, so I'll be quick on this one here. It's pretty simple. The love triangle hype. I mean, it's not terrible all the time. Like I get that you gotta build. I mean, I like these characters that are involved, but. Yeah, the stuff, and it's going to continue, you know, between Jack and Kate and Sawyer, it gets just a little too much. I'm like, do we really care? And then you bring in Juliet to make it square, and you know, there's, you know, kisses and people are jealous, and I know famously that Evangeline Lilly is not a fan of having to be in these love triangles, which she then proceeds to have to do in the Hobbit trilogy as well. But it just is not important, and I didn't really buy it a lot of the time. I just wanted them to like have her pick somebody, and she's going to continue it in season four. And I don't know. It just is kind of a bummer for the character that it's not very interesting to me. It was not as bad like in season one and two, when it's just kind of like a little bit of flirting back and forth. But then at a certain point, it's like, all right, just let her be with Sawyer, you know, or Jack. Will they, won't they?
Well, yeah, and I know it's going to continue into season four, not as heavy as season three. And then by season five, you pretty much run it out because Sawyer's pretty dead set on who he wants. Yes. but yeah, okay, I can see that. One of the misses I had was some of the episodes were just bad episodes. And I know I'm the different one in this, and I understand that, but it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, the meandering and kind of like the middle of the season. There's just some episodes I think they wanted to try some things, and I just don't think, like, you could tell that they either wanted to try something different or they were really, really reaching to have a story. One of them was Stranger in a Strange Land. Usually one of the ones people hate, there's no reason for that episode to me.
I think it's cool. Our lowest, it's a whole
episode dedicated on how Jack got his tattoos. I mean, I don't care how Jack got his tattoos. I understand what they were trying to do.
Sorry to interrupt. The average score between the three of us on that episode was 13 when you average it out. That's terrible. 13 out of 23. So, yeah, that's pretty bad.
I think that's our lowest rated episode, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But.
And then Exposé to me, I know y'all liked it. It's cool. Exposé to me was just one of those I was just like, okay, I don't care about Nikki and Paolo. I get they're trying to do a different kind of storytelling technique in the episode. They're trying to bring some new people. It didn't work. It didn't work. To me, it didn't. But I guess it kind of goes back to Corey's first miss. So,
but I will say I'm glad you put Nikki and Paolo on. I mean, that episode in a way, like, I like that episode because it's like so weird and different. But as a whole, I really don't like Nikki and Paolo. I've just, at times they're okay, but overall, I'm like, yeah, I would have rather not had them in a lot of, especially the first half of the season when they're just like popping in, you know. But
right,
it's not the worst thing, and I'm not like, oh, I can't stand them, but also not too into them.
Yeah. Well, what else you got, Steven?
I might piggyback on yours for my second miss. And that's just some of the dropped threads. Once they picked their end date, once they kind of decided to make a plan, I think a lot of stuff that was introduced that I found very interesting, they dropped. And a lot of that to me was Stranger in the Strange Land. I mean, we all agree the backstory in that, not good. Bad episode. But to me, the actual on-island stuff with the sheriff and Juliet and the brand, to me, that stuff had a lot of interesting potential, and they just flat dropped it. As you know, we never heard it about the sheriff or learned any more about the brand or anything. So to me, once they made up their mind where they were going, they dropped what wasn't essential. But to me, some of the non-essential stuff was interesting, and you know, I guess to me that was a miss. Like, I would have loved to have known more about a lot of the goings on with the others.
Miss Clue,
yeah. You know, we kill her off pretty unceremoniously, but I thought she was a real interesting, you know, part of season two, and they just bring her back once to kill her.
Yeah, in a kind of a dumb way, but I could have swore you were about to mention Annie.
Oh, my God. Toss that one in there, too. Yeah, the Andy, there was so much more we could have done there. And I don't know if I even think about season three, but, like, to me, that's going to be a miss in season five when we're time traveling. Like, we could have found out more about Annie.
I do think that season three probably has some of the most loose ends. Like, they were able to tie up a lot of stuff from season one and two. By the end of the series. In season three, but to season three's credit, it introduces so much crap. It's like they're throwing us so much new stuff and more questions. That's why it has so many. But, like, I totally agree. There's a lot of loose ends you could say the pregnancy thing. I mean, it kind of gets resolved, but it seems like it's so much bigger of a deal season three. And then it's like, all right, well, whatever.
I mean, it's the Dario Naharis of Game of Thrones. You know, we speed to the end and we completely never hear anything else about anything going on in Marine.
Dude, Dario's just chilling out there. He's living a good life.
Who knows? Maybe we'll find out if he ever finishes the books.
Yeah.
Well, to kind
of, don't count on that.
To kind of jump over Corey here and kind of give my last miss, we'll kind of go along with Steven too. I know you talked about some of the storylines that were dropped. I was really bothered by this. I was really bothered by how they dropped the Sun and Jin story. Like, they were not very involved in season three. And there was not a lot to them and their growth. And unfortunately, the reason I think this bothers me is knowing in hindsight what's coming in season four and five with these two, and even season six, the fact that there is not a lot of, I don't say payoff, but there's not a lot of let's be honest, they're about to split up for quite a while. and they're getting close to splitting up for quite a while. So I think they missed a chance, like kind of like you said, to really dig into more of Sun and Jin and the building of the family dynamic, watching them grow, Jin change, and we just didn't get a lot of that in season three. So
I do think though that they tried to
rectify that when they got into later seasons with the whole Sun storyline. They tried to make it a little better to kind of bring him back.
I think they try to. I do think there's a certain point in Lost where the kind of like action-oriented characters are just going to get more, you know, play. Yeah. People who are willing to take risks and shoot guns and do crazy things. Like, I know Jin can handle a gun, but typically it's like the dude has a wife and a baby on the way. He is, for the most part, not going to take as many risks as like crazy, reckless Jack. You know, I know he did in this season three finale, but Jin, but they play it safe a lot, and it's unfortunate for a lot of those characters, like Claire, like anybody who can't be some sort of a badass. It seems like they're like, all right, we don't need them.
I feel like we maybe even got more Jin growth through his friendship, through his male friendships, than even through his relationship with Sun. Because I mean, we obviously Mike's favorite episode. We get a lot of growth in him learning English and a lot of stuff. Just through being a good friend with Hurley and Sawyer and a lot of people, we almost get more of that than we do him and Son.
Mm-hmm. I do like some of the love story stuff with Son and Jin in this season. I do think the baby brings them closer together, and you know, there's not as much secrets and stuff. Like, that's kind of been part of their past in previous seasons, but they're just kind of happy couple. But to your point, they're kind of just happy couple that sits on the beach most of the season. So besides a few camping trips.
So, All right. As you kind of go ahead and speed through, what else you got, Corey?
Yeah, this will be quick here. I would just say the flashbacks, start to get a little stale. Obviously there's some new ones with Ben and Juliet, and like there's a good Locke one, and there's some like really good ones in there. Desmond has some good stuff for sure, but there's also a ton of flashbacks when you're getting to, like, I don't know, like this is like the fifth or sixth flashback for Kate, and like Jack has had a million flashbacks. Of course we all know the tattoo one. There's a lot of them that start to get just kind of stale. Doesn't seem to matter as much. Not too big of a gripe, because like I do think the flashbacks typically don't have like a huge run time on in the episode. It might be 10 minutes, but they do start to be less interesting for sure. Or just maybe not less. Some of them, if they're not less interesting, they're just like insane. And you're like, oh, wow, they're really trying to pull like something out of their butt here. And it's, you know, it's just not the same as they were in season one and two when you're really curious about these people's backstory. So we've learned enough now. We know these characters right. so well. And that's a huge plus to Lost. But at a certain point, it's like, all right, we got enough. So, but that's why they stopped doing them after this season. So,
yep.
All right, and
Steven,
maybe a little more. Yeah, maybe a little along those lines. My last one, I think, is just how unlikable they made Jack. His first couple flashbacks this season were rough, to say the least. But he was just not a likable character for a lot of this. He was doing some interesting stuff on the island, you know, with the whole Ben surgery at the beginning. But his flashbacks, it's really made it kind of hard to root for the hero of your show. Now, obviously, he's in a really bad place in the last episode, and it almost felt like more of the same until we got that great twist that kind of, you know, really made it go. But I mean, we see a lot of Jack in really dark spots this episode or this season. I will say, like, I did enjoy when we finally got to the point where the beach called him on it, you know, where it kind of caused some conflict with his friends. And, you know, that to me was fun to play with. But Jack to me, just for most of the season, was not a likable character.
That's true. Yeah. Some people would say he was never a likable character, but no, I like Jack. When I first watched the show, I hated him. I don't know why, but then I grew to like him later as it went on. But part of it was just a rivalry with my brother. He loved Jack, so I hated Jack, and I loved Locke, and he hated Locke. It was back and forth, you know.
I felt most people may have hated Jack because he was annoying. He was just arrogant at times, and it made you irritated with him. But all right, here we go. So top three moments though of season three. Guys, I'm gonna start this one off because I can. Obviously Hurley in the Dharma van. Go back and rewatch the episode. That is absolutely my favorite moment of the entire series itself, was when Hurley finds that Dharma van, and him, Sawyer, and Jin, who don't get a lot of time together normally, get to spend an entire episode together drinking stale beer and hanging out with Roger Workman. And so I really liked that episode. Top moment, Hurley and Dharma van. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Great moment. To go with that, I mean, I'm going to give kind of like the Corey version is just the Desmond like episodes, the Desmond entering kind of the sci-fi realm.
Yeah.
I mean, the show has always been somewhat sci-fi. I would say it probably wasn't listed as its genre, like maybe in season one all the way, even though there's sci-fi elements from the very beginning, it's more of a mystery. But the show starts to really veer more into that with, you know, the one flashes before your eyes, and then with his visions and stuff, and the, you know, especially getting involved with some of the science stuff in that one flashback. I don't remember who he's his scientist buddy and stuff. It gets really interesting, and it's setting up for where we're going to go in the next few seasons. So I love what they do with Desmond. Like, this is Desmond became, Locke was always my go-to character, and like Desmond overtook him for me in a way, especially with what happens in the season. So happy with that. Steven, what about you?
I'm going to go with the, what we learned from the Ben flashbacks to the Dharma, the history, you know, some of the history there, the purge, Jacob, there was just so much interesting stuff that came out of that episode. To me, that was a real hit. Was that episode.
nice background mic. For those who can't see, which is everybody listening besides us, Mike now has the Dharma van with the four guys and, of course, Vincent chilling.
Absolutely. I can help it.
That all, just all made me think. It's Roger Workman. I didn't know. Did Vincent go with them on that long trek to the radio tower? Was Vincent part of that? I don't remember noticing.
Who knows?
He had to have,
I think. I think he was there. I think somebody had him on a leash, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I just didn't notice.
Listen, Vincent is just does whatever Vincent wants to do. Let's just be honest. Vincent doesn't care. Vincent's, you know, hanging out with the man in black. He's probably like hanging out in Richard's tent somewhere and
That would be a good spin-off show. What was Vincent doing all the times we didn't
the
see
the tales him? Of Vincent.
Yes. Oh my.
So I think one of my other top moments then would be, as we move on, my second one would be Charlie's character arc. I hated Charlie's character in season two. I thought it was one of the worst jobs that they did on Charlie. I think a lot of people began to hate Charlie in season two and really bothered by him. But I felt his redemptive arc in season three was probably one of some of his best work as a character. To the point at the end of season three where he knew what he had to do. He knew that what he was going to give his life for was to save Claire, but not only to save Claire, but he knew that he was saving Desmond in a way as well, because Desmond's issue was going to be he was always going to have visions of Charlie dying. So he was trying to save Desmond, and in fact, Desmond doesn't have to keep seeing him die or seeing somebody die. So mentally, he was helping Desmond. But Charlie's character arc in season three was probably one of the best character arcs of that season to me. And that was one of my highlight moments of season three.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Lots of emotion there. For me, I'm going to do something, you know, it's kind of similar to what Steven said, but the Locke-Ben dynamic. I love the journey Locke goes on this season to, like, in getting involved with the others, besides his, like, trippy Sweat Lodge episode, which was pretty bad. His other episodes were great. The Brig, The Man from Tallahassee, one of my top episodes of all time, and then his interactions with Ben in the Man Behind the Curtain, and then I guess he doesn't interact with, you know, they kind of pass each other. They're in the same area in the finale, but I don't know if they really interact much. But yeah, I just love that dynamic and how it continues to grow on the show, and they really found ways to make that even bigger than it was in season two when Ben was the prisoner. So love that relationship.
Yeah, it's good. Steven?
I'm going to go with Juliet. Adding Juliet into this mix. I think Joe described himself last week on our podcast as an agent of chaos. I think Juliet was definitely an agent of chaos in this show. We never knew whose side she was on, what angle she was playing, from having Jack in the cages at the beginning. Is she on our side? Is she not? All the little tapes and recordings, the double crosses. And I mean, Elizabeth Mitchell is just such a great actress, and she brought a lot to this role. Her flashback was very interesting. You know, that opened up a whole can of worms of what could be going on with Middle-Oz bioscience and what's happening off the island. We get to see her, you know, see her sister at the park through Richard's camera. You know, we learned that the others can, you know, have access off the island. So we learned a lot through Juliet, but we also never knew where her allegiances lie, and she just played the character so great. She got the best of our characters a lot, but then also made us, you know, root for her a lot. So,
yeah,
I agree.
I agree. The last one that I kind of thought about for me, my top 3 months, was we finally got a little bit more exploration of the others. We didn't get a lot of the others in season two. Of course, we knew kind of what was going on, but we get more of who they are, where they come from. We kind of get a little bit deeper into their belief system with the Man in Black and Jacob and that kind of thing. And I really like the fact that we explored some more of the others. This group of people we've been hearing about for two seasons, we finally get to see who they are in season three. And I'm glad we finally hit that road. So that was one of my highlight moments, that they didn't just leave me as a mysterious group of people, but they're just a group of people who were brought there or already there. So exploration of the others.
Yeah, that's a big part of the season for sure. Very, very interesting, especially like when you first watch it, you're like, holy crap. For me, pretty simple here. The finale, fantastic finale. Many consider it the best episode of Lost. I think there's an argument for that. I'm not sure where I would put it. I would probably put it in my top three. I don't, maybe number one, but maybe not. Not enough Locke in it for me, maybe.
not enough Hurley in it for me.
But yeah, great episode. And I didn't get to talk with you guys about it, unfortunately, but I would just say, yeah, we have to go back. What a pinnacle moment in television. So
absolutely
love it. And it just really, you know, it's just a kind of a mind blowing episode, and it really pushes the series forward. So finale was awesome.
Good.
Steven, you got any more?
Steven, you got anything last?
All right. My last one is Danielle and Alex being reunited at last. You know, it wasn't a big part of Alex was a big part of this season. We don't see a lot of Danielle, but you know, we've kind of been waiting for this since season one. I think they just did such an amazing job of casting these two people. Like, you really, they look like they should be mother and daughter. And like, Alex has been, it's been fun to see her kind of having our characters back, even though she's part of them. Is she Ben's daughter and all that? But the fact that we finally get that reunion we've been waiting for, that was a definite highlight for me.
Absolutely. Well, that kind of closes the chapter on season three. And now we're going to kind of move into season four. We should kind of, you know, this one shouldn't take as long, I would think, but we got a season four coming up. It's definitely the shortest season of the entire show. Obviously because of writer strikes, so we knew that was coming. So it's one of the shorter seasons, but I think it's got a lot of stuff in there that are important to the show and to the people in the show. So our top three expectations of season four. I'm going to put Steven here on the spot as our first go-ahead guy. So Steven, what is one thing you cannot wait to dig into in season four?
Well, for me, I think it's going to be figuring out if I was wrong about this season. Like, I enjoyed season four, but when I go to rank my seasons, season four is always my last. Obviously, I think that's not a common response. I think a lot of people love season four. So I want to find out if I am wrong. I feel like maybe I haven't watched it as much as some of the other seasons. I generally tend to enjoy longer seasons, and this is the shortest season, so maybe that's part of it. But there's certainly some highlights. I mean, everybody loves The Constant, but for the season as a whole, this was my least favorite season. Which, again, least favorite season of Lost is better than 99% of the TV out there. So I certainly didn't not enjoy it, but I'm kind of am going to see if I like it better on rewatch.
See, I'm kind of neutral on season four. It's not my lowest. I'm just kind of like right there. My lowest season, of course, you know, is season two. And I know I'm a shocker to everybody else, but I don't know. I'm really neutral on season four. I think it's probably because it's the one season that, besides like the constant and a couple things that we know are coming up, it's one of those seasons that I don't remember as much about what happened in season four as I do the other five seasons. Like, I remember other five seasons pretty well. Season four is just one of those ones that is kind of like, huh, oh, I forgot that was in season four. So I'm actually looking forward to going through season four, too, just because maybe it'll change my opinion of it, Steven. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So,
well, man, I'm excited because I have to say season four is my favorite season. It really holds a special place in my heart. Now, I'll say I've gone back and forth over the years. Season four for the longest time was definitely my number one. But then I started being like, oh, maybe season one is my favorite. So I've gone back and forth between those two seasons. But I'm going to kind of stick with my gut and say season four is my favorite. It holds a special place in my heart because, like many people, didn't watch Lost really in the first couple seasons. I mean, I think I knew about it. I watched like part of the first season. And I'm like, I don't know what this is about. And then we rented the DVDs from Blockbuster, which is kind of a funny thing.
Yeah.
And
your parents.
Yeah. We watched it over like Christmas break, you know, so we didn't like, it wasn't like a super binge. It was periodic binge, you know, over the course of, you know, a few different months, but I caught up, you know, watched the first three seasons over maybe 6 months and then watched season four live. And I don't think I've ever been so hyped for a show as catching up to watching all season three, getting to the we have to go back moment, and then watching the trailers for season four and getting to watch it live. I would watch the episode like three times during the week, getting ready for the next one. Talk about it at school. I was in high school. And so it was such a like fun TV experience for me, and in season five and six as well. But I just felt like season four, I don't know, I think you guys will be impressed. There's a lot of fantastic episodes. It's just the pace is so fast and the story is kind of simplified, but it's like just packed with amazing episodes, in my opinion. Yeah. Constant aside, I mean, you could take Constant out of there. I love the Constant, but you could take it out of there because it's not even really that important to the season. It's kind of like a side quest, you know. I know that's like sacrilegious to say. I love the episode, but it's not really that important to season four as a whole. But yeah, so.
Well, that makes me feel bad for my first expectation, is to see the episode The Constant. But
no, it's fantastic. it's maybe the best episode ever. But
no, I'm interested in this because my favorite season is season five. I really like season five. I like the Dharma exploration. I like them back in time. I like season five. It's my favorite season of the entire series. I'm interested, after going back through all six of these seasons, when we get to the end of the podcast and we do it in a complete series review and an overview, where our minds may be after that, after going through it again, like we're doing. Do we really like the season we said we like, or is there one that just, you know what, this one really did it for me? So I'm really interested in, when we get to the end of the whole show, cool, what happened.
One other thing I was going to say is, like, I used to watch this season so many times, like I said, live, and then when I had the DVDs, that I kind of got like sick. I didn't get sick of it. It's just like when you watch one thing over and over again. So like the other seasons became the fresher seasons to me because I didn't know them like quite as well. And so I've been holding off on like trying to like not watch this season as much for years, you know, so that when I do go back to it now, it's going to be so fresh. But
fresh.
One other thing I'll say, and I'll talk about this when we start doing episodes. Some people don't like the ending of this show. Like, I know you like season five. I do too. I like all the seasons, but the direction the show may go in season five and six, season four, it's like they just kind of set up this dramatic conclusion, and like your imagination's like, this could go anywhere. It's like so open to like so much happening that it's kind of like that glorious moment. It's like, you know, Empire Strikes Back, we're like, what's gonna happen? And then you may be disappointed with the ending you know,
as a lot of people are.
So
unfortunately, one of the expectations I have, and I am pretty excited about myself, besides the, you know, the Constance. I'm just going to skip that because you kind of ruined it for me.
One of the
expectations. No, but what expectation I have is meeting of the freighter crew, and learning a little bit more about our freighter crew friends. And of course we get the awesome helicopter pilot. We get Martin Kimi. Obviously, we know it's between a lot of it's between Charles Widmore. We get Daniel Faraday. We get oh crap, I can't remember her name now.
Charlotte,
thank you. So we get this nice introduction of this nice new crew that really just wants to help these people get off the island and want nothing else in their minds. But I can't wait till we explore more of them, and it's gonna be pretty awesome to me. So exploring a new group of people other than just the same two groups that we have seen consistently. So, and we get one of those crew members is going to be Michael. So I'm pretty excited that we're going to get to see Michael come back again. Spoiler if you haven't seen season four. I think this kind of helps his character a lot to be able to come back. So.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that's my... one of my favorite parts of the season, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's one...
I already was crapping on Michael earlier in this episode, so I can't like no, it's interesting, but then it's short-lived. So I would go for mine. I mean, just the flash forwards. I love the flash forwards. Again, kind of going with this, like, this season takes your imagination to so many places because you're like, what could happen? Like, what's gonna happen? Are they gonna go back? And it's just cool thinking about the possibilities and just the weird, like, it's almost like Memento. Telling a story, part of it's backwards. I mean, it's not really backwards, but like, you know, the destination, you're meeting in the middle, and it's just a very abnormal way to tell a story, but it works so well. So I love the flash forwards. Let me just save my second one too. I would say, just to kind of go off of what I was saying, with the season three note of Desmond loving, you know, how like it's getting more sci-fi. Like, I think this is the best sci-fi season, in my opinion. I know season five has a lot of sci-fi, but maybe, you know, some could say it's too much. I feel like this is the perfect balance of like, ooh, Faraday has this notebook. Like, what's going on? Oh my gosh, the Constant, like, how did his head get? Like, it keeps it semi-realistic. It's not realistic, but you can kind of buy it more so than some of the other stuff. And it's just super cool. Like, just the tone. They have a whole new set of, like, whole new musical cues that are really lean into the freighter sci-fi, like, elements. And, yeah, I just love that stuff. I eat it up. The Orchid. Good stuff.
Nice.
Well, kind of along the lines of the sci-fi expansion, and maybe more specific than Mike's freighter crew, is specifically Faraday. I'm excited for Daniel Faraday. I think what he brings to the show is gonna be fun, and I mean, I enjoy the sci-fi part of it too. And he's definitely gonna, you know, we're gonna start learning about a little bit of how time and physics affects this world, and to me it was very interesting. When we were talking about Mr. Echo earlier, you know, it's hard to find all the old articles, but I vividly remember reading somewhere that the creators had said that some of Mr. Echo's story kind of, it went a different way with Faraday, that maybe Faraday wouldn't have been a part of this if Mr. Echo was. And I don't know if that's true, and I couldn't find the article because I've consumed a lot of Lost articles and interviews over the years, but I couldn't find it. But I somewhere along the line, thought I remembered them saying that kind of some of the stuff that would have been Echo's kind of went the Faraday way. So I don't know if that's true or not, but where the show went a little bit maybe more sci-fi than the more faith-based that it could have been without him. So I don't know. But yeah, Faraday is definitely going to liven things up here.
I will say, you bring Echo back into it. I'm telling you, can you imagine the conversations we would be having if Faraday and Echo ever talked to one another And then the showdown that would have been Martin Kimi versus Mr. Echo in a fist fight. I'm just saying. I mean, come on.
Hey, I would have loved to have seen Miles help Mr. Echo communicate with his dead brother, Yimmy.
Yeah, there we go. I forgot about Miles. Good old Miles.
Yeah, we forgot to mention him. Maybe some more, some Jesus stick action. Jesus stick. All right, did you have one more, Mike?
I kind of added the one into my second one, so I added a third one here. The Oceanic Six and attempting their normal lives. Going back to Hurley trying to live with his parents and
it's just so Kate funny.
Jack. It is. It's so funny. And then you've got all these people trying to live normal lives with this big. Now, we don't know at the end of season three if we haven't seen it, but in season four, you find out that they lied and they realize that they're the only six left when really they lied for a reason. And to see this lie just eat them alive. And realize, man, we really have to go back. Like, what drove them to that point? But they said, I've got to go back. So, and Oceanic Six attempting to live normal lives is something I'm pretty excited about. So, yep, anything else for you guys?
Well, I think my last one is that I'm looking forward to is for Desmond to finally meet Penny again. We got a ways to go till we get there, but that's definitely going to be something I'm looking forward to, is Desmond and Penny finally being reunited.
Yeah, it's awesome. Speaking of Penny, maybe her dad, Widmore. I would say my last one is the Widmore versus Ben war. Ben is down and out for a while, and then he gets back up and going. Widmore's crew, I mean, Widmore himself wasn't there, but we get a lot more. We get more Widmore in some of the flashbacks, or maybe not a flashback. In the Ben episode.
Right.
It's a flash forward, I believe, or a flash present, or whatever you want to. No, it's a flash forward. Yeah. It seems like it could be present, but it's not. Anyways, we get a lot more of the Ben Widmore backstory through many of the flash forwards, and they build up this war between them. And then, you know, Kimi is kind of like the field general. And again, like, some of this gets built up like it's going to continue in later seasons. And maybe you could say it doesn't necessarily live up to the hype later on. But for this season, it was pretty awesome. So, love me some Widmore. He's a good additional villain. And it always gets fishy when it's like, he's the enemy of my enemy. So, who's my friend? Is Ben actually my friend? Or is Widmore my friend? You know, so that's an interesting dynamic to have, like, two bad guys that are both against each other. And now our losties are like, well, whose side are we on? Because we don't want to be on Ben's side, but we don't want to be on Widmore's side. So, it's kind of cool how they do that.
I agree. That's good. Very, very, very rarely in television do you see two villains going at it. Like these two go at it. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about it myself. All right. Like I said, brings us to the end, right? Here we go. This is the beginning of the end.
Ha ha ha. That's the name of the next episode.
Ha ha ha. That's right. Next time on Previous on Lost, we are going to begin season 4, episode 1, The Beginning of the End. Beginning of the End.
A Hurley episode.
Oh.
How cool is that?
That's right.
Yeah. It seemed like such a crazy 100%. Idea to have a Hurley episode as a premiere. It's not Jack? What?
What? I know, right?
Crazy.
Well, they want to come off with their best foot forward. That's why they did Hurley. So.
That's another reason why season 4 is great. There's only one Jack episode.
Booyah. All right, so anybody, y'all got any other thoughts on season 3 and 4 before we head out then?
It's a little sad that we're saying goodbye to the longer seasons of Lost. We're moving into these much shorter seasons. You know, we've been podcasting for 71 episodes, right? And the first, you know, one of these seasons would take a long time, especially when we had some, you know, hiatuses. Is that how you say that? But I mean, I feel like we're going to be through this episode in, you know, maybe before the end of or this season, before the end of the year. So that would be my guess.
Yeah.
That's way too much math there, Corey.
I'm really like 14. I think it's 14 times 2 would be 28 weeks. I guess maybe not, but it'll be quicker. It starts to really race.
It definitely feels like we're going to start the, you know, steamrolling towards the end here. You know, we're kind of over the hump of the midway, and we're going to be, you know, ramping up the action.
So what is the, so there's 121 episodes of Lost. So we are over halfway done. I mean, we are over halfway done with the show. And matter of fact, I think we hit the halfway point in season 3. I don't remember which episode it was.
Yeah, it was a while. I don't know. 5-10 episodes.
It was a while back. Oh yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to getting in it, and it is hard to think that we'll be done with season 4 by the end of this year, probably. And we could very well be moving into season 5 by the end of this year. And that's pretty exciting. Of course, we don't know where, you know, if it gets to be around the holidays, we may just take the holidays off and then come back in the January and start with season 5. We don't know. It's way off in the future. But right now, we have to go back to season 4 and watch it first. So, the beginning of the end, 2 weeks. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. And until then, stay safe. Watch out for wild police chases.
Hold on to your constant.
Hold on to your constant. don't make friends with anybody named Kimi.
Beware of hot pockets.
Beware of hot pockets, yes. I love it. Hey, guys, y'all take care. We'll have a good one, and we'll see y'all soon.
Peace out.
Have a good one.